Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Mem Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, the bottom line. The Mishnah taught us that the Kohen tells the people as they are about to go into battle, V'yatem i'atem kain, you have nothing to worry about, K'shem alekeichem ha'holich imochem li'lochem lechem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with us on our battles. For Kokach Lomo, ask the Gemara, why does the Pasuk have to go out of the way to say, Kishem Elokechem Hoylech Imochem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually travels with us? Answers the Gemara, Meneish Hashem, Hashem's name, for Kol Kenuyov, and all the other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Menachem Ba'aron, were placed in the Aron that traveled with us as we went to battle. And as a machlokes, how to understand that the Shem Hashem went along with us to battle. Some explain that as we learned, and we're going to learn soon again, the Aron HaKodesh, in which the Shivrei Luchas were, traveled with Klal Yisrael as they went to battle. And on the Luchas, of course, appear Hashem's name. And not only do Hashem's name appear on the Luchas, but since, as we know, the luchos, there was a nes that you could read the words on the luchos from both sides, so the Shem Hashem appeared many times, and that's what the Gemara means, that the Shem v'Kenuyov travel along with us. What some Mefarshim ask, that there is no special Shem Hashem mentioned in the luchos. So they explain, on the luchos, there was the Shem Yudke Vovke, which represents Midas HaRachamim, and there was also Shem Elohim, which represents Midas HaDin. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that when we go to battle, the Midas HaRachamim is on Klal Yisrael's favor to help us as we are in war, and there's Midas HaDin against our enemies. However, there are Rishonim that suggest that in the Aron was a piece of paper on which was written the Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMefarish, which traveled with Klal Yisrael as they went into battle. Continues the Gemara, V'kein Oimer, and so it says in the Pasuk, as Klal Yisrael went to fight against the Bijonim, V'yishlach Oysam Moshe, Elef Lamata, Latzova, Oysam Vespinchas. Oysam, says the Gemara, refers to the Sanhedrin. The Farshim explain, how do we know that Oysam refers to the Sanhedrin? Because the Pasuk uses the word Oysam twice, coming to add somebody. Who? The Sanhedrin. Another pshat that I saw from the Ben Yehoyada is that we know that the Pasuk says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. And we learn, and the Chazal teach us that Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, S comes to be marba, to comes to include Talmidei Chachamim. And why are Talmidei Chachamim included with the word S? So Mefarshim explain, because S represent is spelled Aleph Tov, and the Talmidei Chachamim learn the entire Torah, which is written in the 22 letters of the Alabes from Aleph to Tov. But the Sanhedrin, besides obviously being people who have learned the whole Torah, also are people who fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, which the letter Mem stands for. So between the S and the Mem, we have Oysam representing the Sanhedrin. Pinchas Zuch Meshuch Mechama. Pinchas was the Meshuch Mechama who went with Klal Yisrael into battle, against the Majorim. And as Mefarshim explained, even though the parsha of Meshuach Mechama is stated in Seder Dvorim, and this story is in Seder Bamidbar, we know that Seder Dvorim really just represents a review of what happened in the first two Sedras. And even though we don't find any record of the parsha of Meshuach Mechama mentioned earlier, actually, it did happen. It was already mentioned by Moshe Rabbeinu much earlier and was in fact employed when they went to the Melchama with Midian. The Kli HaKadosh refers to the Aron and the Luchas in it. As we explained in the previous year, most Mefarshim explain what it means was that we know there were two Aronis. One Aron was the Aron in which the Luchas were kept. The other Aron was the Luchas in which the Shivrei Luchas were kept. And that Aron, the Aron which had in it the Shivrei Luchas, went along with Klal Yisrael in all the battles. However, there are others that explain that the Kli HaKadosh refers to the Big Day Kahuna, and that when Klal Yisrael went out to battle, they took along the Big Day Kahuna, which were a Shmira for them. Others explain that the Kli HaKadosh refers to the Tzitz. Again, as we have learned, the Tzitz represents something very holy, which they took along with them into battle. The Chatzaitzis HaTrua, Ela HaShayfis, these are the Shayfis. And the Mefarshim here again ask that there were Chatzaitzis. The Pasuk tells us that we should have Chatzaitzis go with us to battle. So why are we defining Chatzaitzis to mean the Shayfis? So this is a question the Rosh Hash asks, and the Rosh Hash answers that the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that there are certain items whose names changed over the generations, and one such example that the Gemara gives are the Chatzaitzis. Originally the Chatzaitzis were called the Chatzaitzis and Shayfis were called Shayfis, but over the course of years they reversed the names. And what was originally Chatzaitzis was then called Shayfis. What was originally Shayfis then became Chatzaitzis. So what the Gemara is saying is, the Chatzaitzis is what we call Shayfis, but the Torah calls Chatzaitzis. Another pshat is that only when they went to battle in Eretz Yisrael did they take along Chatzaitzis. But here they went to a battle in before they entered Eretz Yisrael, then they did not take along Chatzaitzis, they only took along Shayfis. Yet another pshat that I saw is that even when they took along Chatzaitzis, they also took Shayfis, because Shayfis was one of the instruments they used in battle. When they were standing watch, if the enemy was approaching, if they saw that the enemy was approaching, how did they notify that other people of that? They blew Shayfis. So that's why they needed to take along Shayfis. Tana. So there says the Braisa, Loi l'chinam holach Pinchas l'machama. There was a specific reason why Pinchas was chosen to be the Meshuach Machama in the battle against Midian. And as Mefarshim explained, what's bothering the Braisa can be explained in a number of ways. Some explain that why was Pinchas the Meshuach Machama, not Elazar? Others explain why was Pinchas the Meshuach Machama, not Yehoshua? Yet others explain that the Meshuach Machama, as we're going to learn, was an individual who they took along to give Klal Yisrael support as they enter into war. This was a war where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to choose 12,000 men, and they would certainly prevail. So there's no reason for them to need a Meshuach Machama. Yet why did the Torah tell them specifically to take a Meshuach Machama? And yet another pshat, as we're going to learn, is that the Pasuk, when it says that Pinchas was the Meshuach Machama, identifies that Pinchas was the son of Elazar HaKoyin. And the question is, why is it important to mention his yichus when we're saying that he was the Meshuach Machama? Ela v'parei din avi amai. The reason he was specifically chosen to take revenge for his grandfather Yosef from the Minyanim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the Minyanim machro Yisrael Mitzrayim. The Minyanim sold Yosef to Mitzrayim, and to take revenge for that, Pinchas was chosen. And as the Maral explains, we are not to understand revenge in the typical explanation of the word. Here we're dealing with a situation that happened hundreds of years ago. Just what it means is that Midian represented immorality. As we know, the Torah tells us that the nation of Midian was prepared to allow their daughters to act in a very promiscuous way. Yosef, as we know, represents Kedusha v'Tahara, and this battle was the battle that Pinchas was going to undertake. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, the Pinchas me Yosef asay. Does that mean to say that Pinchas was descended of Yosef? My love, when it says that Putiel was a Lazarus' father-in-law, it must be Dasi mi Yisroi. And why is he called Putiel? Shepitim agolam avodas kachavim. He was the one who had fattened, who had prepared animals for avodah zarah. So we see that he was a descendant of Yisroi, not a descendant of Yosef. And as Ben Yoyada asks, if Yisroi, who was originally a priest for avodah zarah, became a ger, how could the pasuk go back and mention his original lifestyle that he was a priest? So Ben Yoyada says that isn't called saying bad about him. It's actually saying something very nice about him. Here we had an individual who had reached such a high position in avodah zarah, and he gave it all up to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not a loy. Putiel doesn't mean that he was a priest of avodah zarah. He means that he came from Yosef. Shepitpeit beYitzroi. Yosef was able, as we know, to overcome his Yetzahara. Ask the Gemara, V'lo shvatim v'azonai soi. We know that when Pinchas took it upon himself to kill Zimri ben Salu, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, who had relationship with a woman, the Cosby Bas Tzor, who was a Bas Midyan, the Shvatim said to Pinchas, Risa Memputi Zeh, do you see this person? Ben Shepitim Aviyav Agolam Avodas Kochavim. He's descendant of a grandfather who was a priest, and now he's killing Yarug Nasim Yisrael. Now he's killing a Nasi. So we see that he came from Yisroi, not from Yosef. For as Mefarshim explained, what the Shvatim were doing was they were saying that Pinchas is not worthy, is not a person who is worthy to kill a Shevet of Klal Yisrael. And they, when they could explain that he came from Yisroi or he came from Yosef, certainly said that they came from Yisroi. Says the Gemara, what happened? Pinchas really came from both of them. Elo, e avud the imim Yosef. If his mother's father was from Shevet Yosef, then imay the imim Yisroi. His mother's mother was from Yisroi. And his mother's mother was from Yosef. Then his mother's father was from Yosef. So in other words, he was a descendant of both of them. Dekanami, how do we know that Pinchas was really a descendant of both of them? Because the pasuk says, "Bebnois putiel trei mashma." So there are two ways shmamino that Pinchas was a descendant both of Yisroi and Yosef, and there are two ways of explaining that how we know him from the pasuk. One shot is the pasuk says, "Be benois putiel loshem rabim," both from Yisroi and Yosef. Another pshat is because the pasuk could have written the word putiel without the yud. The pasuk adding the word yud in the name putiel represents that he was both from Yisroi and Yosef. So the Mishnah continues teaching us what was told to Klal Yisrael before they entered into battle. The dibru ha'al shaitrim ala om lemer mi'e ish. Who is the person? Asha Bonabai's Chodesh Veloy Chanochai. Somebody built a new home and didn't yet have an opportunity to live in it. Inaugurated Yale for Yoshua Lebesai. And the Mefarshim explain why all these various people who are going to discuss in our Shia now are exempt from going to war. The reason is either because their minds are preoccupied with their new homes, their new families, and therefore they won't be able to apply themselves properly to battle. It's one pshat. The Rashbam says, Devin Ezra says a pshat, we're concerned that their worry will not only influence themselves, but will influence their fellow soldiers not to hold battle properly. And yet a third pshat that the Mefarshim suggests is that whenever a person comes to success, people look at him. There's like a concept of an iron horror. And these people built a new home, just got married, are the subjects of success. and people look at them, and therefore they should not go to battle, because the Ayin Hara may cause that they should not be successful. There is a question, machloikis, these individuals who are exempt from going to battle, is it that they are not allowed to go to battle, or is it that they don't have to go to battle, but if they choose, they may go to battle anyway? Echad b'ayin beis ha-tevin, it makes no difference if they built a house, a barn for straw, beis ha-bokar, an animal shed, beis ha-etzim, a wood shed, beis ha-etzim is a warehouse. And as the Farshim explained, every one of these cases represents a bigger chiddush. A barn for straw, you could sleep in. You could lay down on the straw. A animal shed is already worse. A barn, there's a bad smell from the animal, but people sometimes could stay there. A woodshed really has no room for anyone else, and certainly not a warehouse. But all of them are considered a house that a person to live in. Echad aboina, it makes no difference if the person built himself the house, echad lekech, or whether he bought the house, echad yarish, or he inherited the house, echad shenitlam imatana, or even if it was given to him in a gift. In all these cases, he falls into the category of someone who is a bona bias chadash. However, the Mefarshim certainly all point out that something which is a totally temporary house, such as a sukkah, or if somebody built a hut on top of a boat, they would certainly not be considered somebody who was bona bias chadash. Umiya ish shanata karen v'loi chiloloi, who planted a vineyard and not yet redeemed it. And we have here a fundamental machloikis, Rashi and the Ramban, how to understand this case. Rashi explains, we know that whenever somebody plants a fruit tree, for the first 3 years it's Arla, and the fourth year it could be redeemed as Revai. So Rashi says that until the person actually redeemed it, he's in the category of not a kerem of a loichilolo. The Ramban disagrees. According to the Ramban, as soon as the fourth year comes, even the person did not yet go ahead and redeem it, he's in the category of not a kerem of a loichilolo. Echra notei kerem, it makes no difference if he plants a vineyard, echra notei chamisha lo nemachel, or if he plants five fruit-bearing trees, even if they're five different species. But according to Rashi, they have to be, if you're planting five trees, they have to be planted in the formation that we see in the diagram of Rashi. That's when it's considered a field. The Rambam seems to disagree. He says, under all circumstances, if you plant five trees, you're in this category. Echad hanoteya, it makes a difference if he planted the trees, echad maverick, or he layers them, as we'll learn in the Gemara, that means putting a piece of the tree into the ground, echad maverick, or he grafts, echad lekeach, again it makes no difference if he bought such a tree, echad yorish, or he inherited such a tree, echad shenitlan matana, was given to him as a gift. Or mi isha she'iris isha, the same applies if somebody married a woman. Says the Mishnah, Echad Maris Psula, it makes no difference if it was a Psula who he did Erisin with, Echad HaMa'ares as Halmana, or if he did Erisin with an Almana, Afila Shemeris Yavim, even a Shemeris Yavim, Vafila Shama Shemeis Echad Mechama, or even if he heard that his brother died during the war, Chayzer Baloi, he goes back home. Mefarshim explained that what is the chiddush when the Mishnah says Shama Shemeis Achav Mechama Chayzer Baloi. So the Mefarshim explained that there are a number of chiddushim. Even if you only heard from an Eid Echad, normally we know you have to hear, for something to be valid, you have to hear it from two witnesses. Here, even if you heard from one witness, it's acceptable. There is a machloikis if that one witness is the wife of the brother, will he be allowed to get remarried based on that? Because as we know, the Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos that even though a wife is believed to say a husband passed away, she's not believed to say that he passed away in war, because we're concerned that she's not saying it with a certainty. Moreover, another chiddush the Mefarshim explained is that the Mishnah is teaching us that even though the brother who had died didn't come home because of his wife, still he can't come home because of his wife. And moreover, another chiddush is that even though normally the cases that we're going to learn that somebody could go back home is before they went out to war, here he's already at battle and he could return. However, the Mefarshim say ubaloi, when he comes back, it's only to, he can't be completely at home. As we're going to learn later in the Mishnah, he has to remain working, supplying the soldiers. The Mefarshim also point out that even though we learned that while he's a battle, the Shemeres Yavim fell to him, the halach is he goes back home. Let's say if somebody was in battle, and while he was in battle, a house was built on his behalf, or he built a home, or he bought a home, certainly he would not be allowed to go back home during the war for that reason. And the reason is obvious, because this, everybody could buy a house, and you could always get people to become exempt from war. Farshim also asked, the Pasuk says, Mi isha is isha v'loyla kocha, and the concern is pen yomas b'machama, maybe he'll die during the war, vish acher yukachena, and another man will marry her. And we have here a question. The Mishnah speaks about a ma'aris as halmona. The halacha is that if a woman was married to two men and both husbands died, she is identified as a katlonis and she may never get married again. So if this woman is an almana, and now her husband will die in the war, so she anyway won't be able to get married to someone else. So we don't have a situation of ish acha yukachena. Say the Mefarshim based on the Ramah, that when is a woman considered a katlonis? A woman is considered a katlonis if her husband died a natural death. But if her husband died as a soldier in battle, she is not considered a katlonis, and she would be allowed to get married to another man, and we would have a situation of ish acha yukachena. Says the Mishnah, kol elu va'elu, all of these cases, shomer divrei kohen ma'archei hamechama, he hears the words of the kohen, v'chozrin, they go back home, but not they go back home not to be involved in the battle at all. However, they are the ones that supply water and food to the troops, and they take care of the roads. They're not completely exempt. The following people don't go back. Habayna Beishar, so they only build a gatehouse, a chsadra, or a porch, or a hall. Hanateya Arbe Lorimachel, if he only planted four fruit trees, or Chamisha Lanisrak, the Rishonim point out that it's not only five Yilanisrak, it's four. It's even more than five Yilanisrak. Just the Mishnah is trying to make consistent that by five fruit trees you do go home. So it says by five Yilanisrak you don't go home. Hamachzer Grushasai, and if somebody bakes back his divorcee. However, says the Miches Chinuch, that when does somebody not go back if he takes back Machzor Shosoi is in a situation that there was nesuin between this man and the woman, and then they got divorced, and now he's taking her back. So there the halach is, that's not considered a wife for whom he goes back. But, says the Miches Chinuch, let's say they only had Erisin, and then they got divorced, and now he took her back, and he took her back in the suin, there the halach would be that he does go back to war. He's exempt from war. Says the Mishnah further, Amana l'kohen gadol, if a kohen gadol were married an almana, a grush v'chutz married to a kohen hedjet, a mamzeres and a sina married to Yisrael, a bas Yisrael l'mamzer or l'nosin, all of these people were not supposed to get married, and therefore lo yechazer, they're not a reason to go back. Farshim asked, a kohen anyway doesn't go to war, So what's the question that he should be exempt? So far as to say, we're referring to a case where the Kohen chose to go to war even though he doesn't have to. By a mamzer, the Gemara says that a mamzer is not appointed to be a soldier. So what's the case of a mamzer? Farshim say that it's referring to a mamzer who's only a mamzer midrabanan. Such a person is allowed to go to battle, but if he married someone who he wasn't allowed to, then he doesn't come back. All of the people that we mentioned in the first part, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Boina Bais Al Mechonai, if somebody builds a house on the place that he had his house originally, also Loi HaYechayz, he doesn't go back. Rabbi Lez Omer, Afa Boina Bais Levon and Besharon, if somebody built a brick house in the Sharon, where the houses, brick houses, did not survive, Loi HaYechayz doesn't go back. The Farshim point out that here we have Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, if somebody builds a house on its original spot, does he go back or not? Tanakama says that he does. Yehuda says he doesn't. And actually, this question is also relevant for a Shechianu. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that a Boina Bayis Chodesh, if somebody builds a new house, he makes a Shechianu. So the question is, what's considered building new house? Even though the Arma Farshim that say, the Paiskim that say, that the din of a Shechianu is not set on a house that's built in Chutz Laretz. And there are other Mefarshim. I saw Rosh Shlomo Zalman Braun, the Shemit Shem Balacha, told me that if somebody builds a house, moves into a new house, if he has a mortgage, if he has debts, he doesn't make a Shechianu because the Simcha is not complete. However, he says, and by the time you pay off your mortgage and you pay off your debts, it's not a new house anymore. What would be the halacha if somebody rebuilt a house? Under what circumstances? If somebody sold this house and brought back the house, what would be the din according to Tanakama? The Mishnah Melech and the Samsaifa both say that if somebody sold this house and then brought it back as it is, he certainly will not go out from the battle for that reason. The Samsaifa goes on to say that let's say somebody demolished his house and then rebuilt it, and he used the same materials that he used that were there originally, he, even according to Tanakama, would not come back. Others disagree with Chassam Seifer. So all of these people that we mentioned went out to the border, heard what the Kohen had to say, and then came back. However, the following individuals, Elush Ein Zazim Kaimim, did not even leave their homes. Bonabayis Chabayis, he built a new house for Chanocha and he's living in it and since first year. Not the Karen V'chiloi, he redeemed the fruit and it's still in the first year of his new fruit tree. Hanoises Arusosoi, he got married to Zarusa, or Akoinis Shivimtoi, he married his Yavama. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Nok Yir Lebeis Shanachas, they should remain at home for 1 year. Lebeisoi Zebeisoi, Yir Zakarmoy, Vesimach, Es Ishtoi, Zu Ishtoi, Ashalokach, Lahavi Shivimtoi, these people are totally exempt. Ema speaking, Mai Mimozan, they don't even have to be involved in supplying food to the soldiers. Vei Mesaknas Adrachim, they're not involved in fixing the roads, they're completely exempt. And the Rambam and the Chinuch, based on this Mishnah, go on to say that someone who's married in the Shana Rishona, in the first year after his marriage, also should not leave his home. I'm not talking about a soldier, we're talking about somebody who is married for the first year. Just like our Mishnah teaches us with Simechas Ishtoi, the concept of Shana Rishona being completely home. The Ratvaz and the Chachmas Adam also passkins that way. However, the Ratvaz takes issue with this. And he says that our Mishnah and the Pesukim, the Torah, speak specifically about someone regarding war, but it doesn't speak about somebody who just got married. And he therefore says that somebody during the Shana Rishona, if he's leaving home because he's going to learn, or he's leaving home because that's what he needs to do for Parnasa, may. Darach HaShulchan says also that if he has permission from his wife, he may leave. But of course, the Pesukim will say that a newly married husband should try to avoid doing these things. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, the Pesuk, we learned in a Braisa, the Pesuk says, V'dibru hashoitrim, Yochel Dvarim Shel Atzmam, that they're saying their own things, they're not repeating something else. K'shoimer, V'yosfa hashoitrim, Hadvarim Shel Atzmam Omer, the Pesuk already speaks about what they say themselves. How do we explain the pasuk with divrei shaytrim? Divrei meshuach mecham akos medaber. The pasuk is referring that they repeat what the meshuach mecham said. Ha keitzad koyin medaber. The koyin would say the shayt meshmiya, and the shayt would repeat his words that everybody should hear. And the braisa elaborates on what we just said. Tani chada koyin medaber the shayt meshmiya. There's one part that the kohen spoke and the shaita repeated. Tanya idach, there was a part that the kohen medaber v'kohen meshmiya, the kohen spoke and the kohen repeated. But tanya idach, and yet there's a third case that shaita medaber shaita meshmiya. Amar Abaya, haketzad, how do we reconcile all three of these brises, all three of these situations? V'nigash ad v'dibru, the first part that speaks about the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was said by the Kohen, Kohen Medaber, the Kohen Meshmir. The Kohen said it and the Kohen repeated it. Because this is the fundamental message that they had to hear before they went to battle. So the Kohen said it and the Kohen repeated it. But Dibru Vad Yosfu, the second part that starts speaking about the different rules that we're learning about who returns and who doesn't return, that was said by the Kohen, because we want to make sure that the rules are said properly. However, Shaita Meshmiya, the repetition is said by the Shaita. V'yosu v'eilech, the last part, which speaks about Hayorei v'rach halevav, that was Shaita Medaber, Shaita Meshmiya, was both said and repeated by the Shaita. The Karen Oira suggests that there's a machloikis Bavli in Yerushalmi, if what the Shaita said also had to be said in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh. As we started learning these sugyas, what the Kohen said, the Mishnah taught us already in the previous parak, was said by the Kohen in Lashon HaKodesh, and the Karen Ayur says that according to the Bavli, also what the Shoitrim said had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, but what was said by the, according to Yerushalmi, what was said by the Shoitrim was said in any language. So they said, Mi'a Isha Shabbat HaBayis Chodesh, Tana Abonin, Enli, I would only know if he actually built a new house. Lokach v'yorash v'nitin loy b'matan, if he bought or he inherited or received it as a gift, minayin tamalayim mi'a ish shabana. The pasuk adds the words mi'o ish to teach us all these people are also exempt. Bayis ainli ela bayis, a regular home. Minayin l'rabbis space a tevin, a straw where they kept the straw. Beis vaka, a barn. Beis etzim, where they kept the wood. Beis oitzus, the warehouse. Tamaloyma shabana mikom makim. All of these individuals are exempt. Yochel shenimarba, I should also include beis shar, a gatehouse, a chsadra, a pesas, different types of galleries and porches. Tamaloyma bayis, ma bayis haroy ladira, a place where people live. Af kol haroy ladira, where they actually lived. Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, bayis kamashmoy, a house means only a house. Anything else is not included. Loi chonach, the pasuk could have said loi chonach, but rather the pasuk says loi chanocha, to teach us pratel gazlan, that if somebody stole a house, that house is not a house that would exempt him. So the question the mefarshim asks is that we know throughout Shas the halach is that karko ain't an exelis. We can't steal property. So of course it's not his house. Why do I need a pasuk to exempt him? So the Marcheshes and the Chazon Yecheskel say that if a house, a property was stolen for a long time and everybody forgot that this property originally belonged to a certain individual, everybody agrees that that karka is the gzelis. Or says Rebbe Elyashiv, we're referring to a case where a person didn't steal the house as it stood. He stole material, and he took that material and built a house with it. In those cases, the house is considered his, but it's not considered his to exempt him from being a soldier. Ask the Gemara, Lema, should we suggest that this brisa is the loy k'Reb Yosef Glili? Di Reb Yosef Glili ha'omer v'racha levav zem siyarim averish b'yodai. Somebody who's concerned that he did averis is not allowed to go to battle. This person is a gazlan, so certainly he's not allowed to go to battle. Answered the Gemara, a field time Reb Yosef Glili. We could say that's going according to Reb Yosef Glili. It's referring to a situation that he did tshuva and he paid for it, and he's no longer a gazlan. Says the Gemara, Ihochi Havalakayach. If he paid, he's a regular purchaser of the house for Laheder, and he should be allowed to go back. It's a new home for him. Answers the Gemara, Kivan the Mikara, since this person received the house, when he first received the house, it was through Gzela, Loi, he's not exempt through this house from being a soldier. Umi ish ashanota karen. Tarabonim, ashanota. Ainli elanota. We only would know somebody who actually planted a tree. Lokach v'yorish. V'nitalam matonim anayim. How do you know if he bought it, or he inherited it, or he received it as a gift? Tamloima, umi ish ashanota. From the extra umi ish. Karem, ainli ala karem. Only a vineyard. Manayim l'rabbis chamisha elonim machal. Five fruit trees. Filashaminim, different species. Tamalayim ashanota. The asher comes to teach all types of tree. Yochla nimarva hanoteya aboa milenim machal. Even if he planted four fruit-bearing trees, or chamisha lenasrak, or five or more non-fruit-bearing trees. Tamalayim a kerem. There has to be something similar to a kerem, which is a fruit-bearing tree. Labros b'yakov oimer. Karen k'mashmoy, it has to be a regular karen. Loi chilaloi v'loi chilaloi, says the Braisa, prat l'mavrich, if somebody layered or marked or grafted, that doesn't exempt him from being a soldier. Ask the Gemara v'anantanan, we learned in the Mishnah, echran noiteya v'echran mavrich v'echran markiv, all of these individuals are exempt from going to battle. Amrav zero, amrav chizaloi kasha, kam b'kavis issa. The Brice is referring to Akavis Isser. There, the person is not exempt. Kamba Akavis Heter, the Mishnah is referring to permitted grafting. By permitted grafting, the halacha is that he is exempt. By permitted grafting, he is exempt. As the Meiri points out, our Gemara that we're going to learn now focuses on Harkova, on grafting. The Gemara doesn't speak at all about Havrocha, layering. How do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa regarding layering? Answers the Miri. If the original tree is still connected, then he doesn't go back. If it's not connected, then he goes back. Hi, Akavas Heter Hechadami. What's the case of Akavas Heter? Ilam Yolda B'Yolda. If he put one young tree, grafted into another young tree, so why do we need to say that he's exempt? Because of the graft, because of the donor. Typically, the boy mehedem shum yalda rishoina. The original tree is still not old enough, and that's the reason he should be able to go back. And as the Miri explains, we could perhaps explain that the tree that he, the branch that he used for grafting, is even younger than the tree. However, says the Miri, that in such a case, when we graft a tree, let's say the branch is 1 year old and the tree is 2 years old, everybody agrees that we follow the tree. El yolda b'zakeina. It's referring that he grafted a young tree into an old tree. Ask the Gemara, v'amar avavua, yolda shezivcha b'zakeina. If somebody grafted a young tree onto an old tree, botla yolda b'zakeina, the grafted tree becomes nullified in the old tree. And Machlokes Rishonim to explain why. Some Rishonim explain because of bittul, that the young tree becomes nullified in the much bigger, older tree. Or other Rishonim explain because this is a situation of Zevzeh Goyrim, that both of them are taken into consideration, and that's why it's not that we follow the old tree's status. And therefore, with this graft, a branch, there's no din of arla. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, our Mishnah is referring in a case, l'oilam yalda b'yalda. He grafted, the branch was grafted into a young tree. However, the young tree was exempt. Going the not l'hakamaisa, because he had planted the original tree, l'syog l'kairis, only as a fence or to be used as beams. The Tanan, and the Mishnah says, m'sach to arla, if somebody plants a tree to be used as a fence or for beams, patmer arla. So the original tree is exempt from arla, and therefore it can't exempt a person from war. Now, by grafting into it a young tree, which I'm not going to use for a fence, not going to use for beams, we're patmer. Ask the Gemara. Why, when we said that if the grafted branch is the tree that's not 3 years old, and the tree is 3 years old, it becomes bottle? Why do we say when we graft a young tree into another young tree, the graft is not nullified? Just like in the original case, that we follow the older tree status, here too, we were talking that the older tree was going to be used for beams or a fence, and therefore the halachas of arla don't apply to it. The halachas of exemption from battle don't apply to it. It should be the same. Answers the Gemara. Hasach, by a tree that's over 3 years old. Even in Mimlech Aleh, if he changes his mind and says that he wants to, there's no changing of mind. It can never be. It can never fall into the category of Arla because it's over 3 years old. Here in Mimlech Aleh, if he changes his mind, the tree that he originally designated to use for fence or for beams, Bas Mehedihi, he could change his mind and it would be considered a tree subject to Arla, subject to being able to be used to exempt somebody from battle. So the Gemara says that if something was originally planted for a fence, originally planted for beams, it could become subject to arla. Where do we find this concept? Just like we find by trees that grow of their own. The Tanan, olam aleihem, if tree grew on its own, chayavim ba'arla. So we see that even though it wasn't originally planted for any purpose, it can be subject to arla. Here too, even though it was originally planted for a fence or for beams, it could still be subject to arla. Ask the Gemara or Lukma Bekarim Shoshnei Shotim. Why don't we explain that the Mishnah is referring to a case that we're talking about a vineyard of two partners, one owning the tree and one owning the graft. The high order of the day, the owner of the tree goes home because of his tree. The high order of the day, and the owner of the grafted branch goes home because of his branch. Amra Papa says, Rapapa, the fact that the Gemara doesn't give this teretz, Zeis Ameris, proves to us the kerem shel shnei shutfim, the kerem of two partners, ein chayzer olam yarchem lachama, is not a good enough reason for them to go home from war. Because, as Mepharshim explained, we can't identify which is this partner's and which is that partner's. It's considered one vineyard with two owners, and the chances that both owners will not survive the war are very remote. However, everybody should survive the war, and that's why it doesn't go back. Hasam, the Gemara differentiates. Says the Gemara, my Shnoah asked the Gemara, Mechamisha Achem, Meis Echemem B'Mechama, when you have five brothers and one of them died, the Kum Chayzer, she could only marry one of them. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, Kachad V'Chad Karina V'Ishte. Every one of the wives, every one of these men could potentially marry this woman. Hachachad Chad V'Chad, like Karina V'Karma. It's not considered any one individual's Kerem, it's considered the kerem of both of them together, as we just explained. However, the Rambam does seem to learn that if two partners own a house together and it's the house that's in the first year, both of them would go be exempt from battle. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak Omer, the case of our Mishnah, the case of the Mishnah is referring to a person who is Mavrich Ilan B'Yerek. He grafted a branch of a tree onto an herb. And since herbs are not subject to Arla, only fruit trees are subject to Arla, that's why he could be exempt from battle because of the grafted tree. And the Mishnah represents the opinion of Hai Tanahu, the Tanya, Hamavrich Ilan B'Yerek, somebody grafts a branch of a fruit tree into a vegetable, Rav Shimon Gamliel Mater, Mishum Rav Yehuda Ben Gamdu Ish Kvar Akoy, and therefore he didn't do anything wrong, and that will be the case of the Mishnah, Chomim Eisum, Kiyos Rav Dimi Am Rav Yochanan, Homani, who is the Tana of the Braisa that says that when there was grafting or layering, that's not a reason to be exempt? It represents the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who he mentioned earlier. La'am Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Hosom, didn't Rav Elazar ben Yaakov tell us Kerem Mashma, that it has to be Kerem Kamashmai, a full-fledged vineyard. Anything else doesn't exempt. Hachanami, so too he will learn, not to Kamashmai, Noitea in, only when somebody planted a tree is he exempt from battle. Mavrich Umarkiv, Lloyd, doesn't exempt him. Kiyosar Avdimi Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Yol de Pachus Metefach. If you have a young tree that's less than a hand breadth tall, Chayovis Be'orla, Kol Shnaseh. If this tree never grows high, it's always going to be Chayiv and Orla. Why? Because the Mischazi Vashata, people who see it, always assume that it's a young tree because it's so short. The Hani Mili, however, when is this said? Shtaim Keneged Shtaim, only when it's Bech Yotzezonov. Have a kule kerem. If you have a whole vineyard that way, color islay, everybody recognizes that this is the type of vineyard, and even though the trees are very short, after three years, it will no longer be arlo. Here we have a machlokes rashonim, how to understand this case. Rashi explains that this case is referring to where you have specifically a vineyard of five trees this way. But let's say you'll have less than five trees, then it doesn't look like a vineyard, and he'll go out. The Ramban, and he doesn't have, is not chayiv in orlo. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says five trees, and even less than five trees, whenever you have such small trees, it looks like it's a new tree, and it looks like the chayiv be'orla, unless we have a whole field that way. Kiosof dimi amar b'yachon mishum b'lez ben Yaakov. Mace, a corpse, typhus arba amis l'krishma, or anybody who's around him, dalat amis, is part of krishma. The ksiva, the pasuk says, loyg l'rash char v'seyu. This person who's dead can no longer do mitzvahs, and therefore we should not do mitzvahs in front of him. The Farshim discuss at length why are we speaking strictly about the mitzvah of krishma, not other mitzvahs. So some suggest that we're speaking about krishma because by other mitzvahs, the halacha is we can't say the mitzvah out loud, but if we say it quietly, even though we're standing next to a mess, it's acceptable. Krishma cannot be said even quietly next to a mace. There's machloikis, Rambam and Ravid. If somebody read krishma next to a mace, does he have to repeat it? The Rambam says that he was in Yotzer and he has to say over the krishma. The Ravid disagrees that even though he shouldn't have said krishma that way, he is Yotzer and doesn't have to repeat the krishma. Other Mefarshim say that krishma really is no different than any other mitzvah. The reason the Gemara chose to speak about krishma is because we know that for krishma there's a zman krishma, there's a time by which the krishma has to be said, and the Gemara is teaching us that even though it's within a certain time that he has to finish it, he should still not say it next to a mace. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Chargasoi, a stepdaughter, Hagdela ben Achim, that grew up amongst other stepbrothers, Asura Nosil Achim, should not marry one of those stepbrothers. The Machsi kichsayu. It looks like a sister. Of course, one may not marry a sister. However, says the Gemara v'lohi, we don't have to be concerned for this. Kol esloi b'milsa. Everybody is aware that this is a stepsister, and therefore there's no concern. If somebody has lecha shicha peya, she'osim begorin, that a person made into a pile in the warehouse, hook for the meiser, even though normally lecha shicha peya are not mechuyev a meiser, here it looks like he's bringing in his regular produce, and that's why, because of maris ayin, he should take off trumas and meisers. It says, ulo amu ulo loya mar el basada, when the pile was made in the field. Al bi'ir, if he made the pile at home, so everybody sees that he made a pile out of matnas aniyim, kala islay, everybody knows about this, and he's part of a maestris. Amar Rav Yochanan Shimon Elazar ben Yaakov, yolda pekusa betefach, a vine that's less than a tefach tall, en mekachas azroim, doesn't make the other plants growing next to it usher because of kalia kerim, that you have vegetables next to a tree. V'hani mili, that's only said in a case when you have shtayim k'neged shtayim v'echad zonav, two trees, like the picture of Rashi and Amar Aleph. Avakula kerem, when you have a whole field this of short trees, magdish, that's the field, and therefore it will cause kali kerem if it's planted next to something which is not the same species.